Tomorrow, July 4th, 2022, marks the 10th anniversary of the long-awaited discovery of the Higgs boson particle. It happened in Geneva, Switzerland, in the Large Hadron Collider. Something about this discovery gave me an intuitive feeling that the thousands-year-old Buddhist concept of emptiness and this discovery just 10 years ago of the Higgs boson particle are worth juxtaposing, are worth talking about side by side. So this morning, I'm looking at the meaning for us of these two concepts, the Higgs boson and how it keeps everything together, because otherwise we would not exist. And I'm taking a look at that and placing it side by side with the Buddhist concept of emptiness. On the cover of the Order of Service this morning, you'll find the Heart Sutra. By the way, sutra means scripture. And you'll also find there a photo of a cross-section of the interior of the Large Hadron Collider at Geneva. The function of the collider is to smash particles together at very high heats and speeds so as to find infinitely small particles, the bosons. If you're new to Unitarian Universalism, you may be surprised to see a photograph of the magnet system of the Large Hadron Collider at CERN on the cover of the Order of Service. Well, as Unitarian Universalists, we don't have a creed. We have principles, principles that affirm and promote. For example, our fourth principle says that we affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And the seventh principle says that we affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. The loving tradition we share as Unitarian Universalists draws from many sources. Sources we draw from include direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. Another source is wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual life. And yet another source states that we draw from humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science. I'm referring to these principles and sources as a guide as we mark the 10th anniversary of the Higgs boson particle and discover ways that this discussion fulfills our principles and uses our sources. The great contemporary Buddhist, His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, said this about science and spirituality. Since the emergence of modern science, humanity has lived through an engagement between spirituality and science as two important sources of knowledge and well-being. Sometimes the relationship has been a close one, while at other times it has been frosty, with many finding the two to be incompatible. Today, in the 21st century, science and spirituality have the potential, he says, to be closer than ever and to embark upon a collaborative endeavor that has far-reaching potential to help humanity meet the challenges before us. We are all in this together, he said. May each of us, as a member of the human family, respond to the moral obligation to make this collaboration possible. This is my final heartfelt plea, the Dalai Lama said. This morning, hearing the words of the Dalai Lama responding to his request for collaboration, my intent now is to engage in the science and religion dialogue that is so important to us as Unitarian Universalists and to use the Dalai Lama's words, important to us as members of the human family. These joined topics today of the Heart Sutra and the Higgs boson particle suit us well. Both are about emptiness. Emptiness. What is emptiness to a Buddhist? What is emptiness to a theoretical particle physicist? And does the concept of emptiness in Buddhism mean the same as the concept of emptiness in particle physics? And how do you even begin to talk about something that is empty? A way to explore these is by telling stories. I'm going to tell you three. First, I'm going to share a little bit about my background as a practicing Buddhist and how I got interested in the Heart Sutra and how it ultimately gave me a new direction in my life. Then in the second section, I'll focus on the Heart Sutra and tell about several key concepts, including the concept of emptiness. The word empty or emptiness is mentioned 7 times in the Heart Sutra. From ancient times, Buddhists memorized the Heart Sutra and passed it on orally, so terms are introduced, reintroduced more than once, and repeated more than once. And by the way, the sutra is printed on the cover of the Order of Service. And then in the third story, I'll describe the particle physicist's efforts to prove the existence of the Higgs boson particle and the jubilant reaction when it was discovered 10 years ago tomorrow. The happiest physicist of all was the Scotsman Peter Higgs, who had been looking for it a long time and had almost given up hope when, after many tries and wearing out several colliders, finally, his patience was rewarded, and the boson that had existed only in theory until then was produced. This extremely small particle proves that, well, all things are essentially empty until this small particle gives them mass. Now, a little about my background as a practicing Buddhist. In 1990, during a midlife crisis, I realized I don't have a spiritual life. I did have a tenured teaching position at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in a department that offered intensive English and math courses. I was an English teacher. And we also provided advising and tutoring to students from Milwaukee's inner city. I worked with dedicated colleagues, and I had a close circle of friends. I began to suspect that a major cause of my midlife crisis was that I had no spiritual life. In fact, I didn't have any kind of spiritual life since I walked away from the Trinitarian Church of my childhood in my late teens. So then, in 1990, a good friend, she gives me a book by the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. I read it, I find more of Thich Nhat Hanh's writing, and I hear of a Zen meditation group at the Unitarian Church North in a Milwaukee suburb, meets every Monday evening, 6:30 p.m., and the teacher was a Unitarian Universalist minister, the Reverend James Ford. I became a regular member of the meditation group, and every Monday we sat in meditation, recited the Heart Sutra and other chants. In 1995, on a summer break from teaching, I participated in a 6-week intensive Zen Buddhist training and retreat in the hills above Honolulu. It sounds ritzy, doesn't it? It wasn't. We were building, well, helping to build, because we meditated a lot of hours, so we had some time to help build the Zen Center. There were no screens on the windows yet, and we slept on mattresses on the floor. I served as cook to offset my expenses. The teacher was Robert Aitken, a noted Zen teacher who had been a prisoner of war in Japan, where he had learned Japanese and Zen Buddhism. Very early every day, we recited the Heart Sutra in English and Japanese to a drumbeat. We sat in meditation for hours in a screen pavilion. That was screen, thank goodness. Sometimes up to 11 hours a day of intensive training. Since that retreat in 1995, the Heart Sutra has been my truth, my source of comfort during times of anxiety, stress, and grief, like when facing surgery or grieving my mother's and my sister's deaths. I recite it every morning, first thing, and meditate on it daily. The Heart Sutra is my spiritual guide and comfort. Now, to the Heart Sutra itself. I'll point out and explain a few key terms as they come up. The scripture called the Heart Sutra begins with a narrative style and is told from the point of view of Avalokiteshvara. This being is a meditating bodhisattva, two big words, who is telling all of these things to an entity nearby whose name is Shariputra. These names are highly significant. Avalokiteshvara, seven syllables, that name means loving kindness. And bodhisattva means one who helps us all awaken and become enlightened. Next, we learn that Avalokiteshvara is practicing deep prajna paramita. Prajna means supreme wisdom, wisdom beyond wisdom, perfect understanding, and intuitive knowledge. Having the capacity to go beyond dualistic thinking, having transcendental wisdom, and practicing deep prajna paramita, Avalokiteshvara clearly sees through insight and intuition that all things are essentially empty. What does the word empty mean in this context? Avalokiteshvara, in deep meditation, realizes that all things are, as the scripture says, not born, not destroyed, without loss, without gain. Next, we learn that while intuitively realizing that all things are empty, the bodhisattva attains anuttara samyak sambodhi. These three words mean that the bodhisattva is awakened. Here is this loving and kind meditating Buddhist who realizes that all things are essentially empty. Through the effort of meditation, they realize intuitively that all things are empty, all things are illusory. This bodhisattva has been enlightened. Now I'm going to recite some of the lines of the Heart Sutra and invite you to join me, silently or out loud. We'll do just part of it, up to the word gain, G-A-I-N, just to get a sense of it. The Heart Sutra is printed on the cover of the Order of Service, and you could follow along or join in. When chanted in a meditation center, the title is usually formally announced before the chanting begins. So in keeping with that tradition, I will now announce it and we'll proceed. The great Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva practicing deep prajna paramita clearly saw that all five skandhas are empty, transforming all suffering and distress. Shariputra form is no other than emptiness, emptiness no other than form. Form is exactly emptiness, emptiness exactly form. Sensation, perception, mental reaction, consciousness are also like this. Shariputra, all things are essentially empty, not born, not destroyed, not stained, not pure, without loss, without gain. Next story. One fine morning in the mid-1960s, the particle physicist Peter Higgs proposed to colleagues that one boson, later called the Higgs boson, is the fundamental force-carrying particle of a field, later called the Higgs field. He theorizes, Peter Higgs does, that of all the particles called bosons, there is one that gives things their mass. It is a boson that holds things together. He theorizes that things are essentially empty. Things are essentially empty and they don't have a mass, they don't have structure, they don't have weight, and they need this boson to give them all that, to give them mass. Peter Higgs, over the course of many years, tried to prove his theory. Large, expensive colliders were built in the United States that were useful in trying to prove his theory. Unfortunately, these colliders depended on federal monies in part to be built and maintained, and they wore out. They broke down or were damaged, and they couldn't be repaired or rebuilt, and politics got in the way. And maybe this actually happened. Could be. Peter Higgs is sitting in his office one day when the phone rings, and President Bill Clinton says, "Hello, Peter, I'm sorry to tell you that your funding didn't go through." So then Professor Higgs takes his project to Europe, to Geneva, Switzerland, where the largest collider ever was being built by CERN, C-E-R-N, it stands for European Organization for Nuclear Research. And Peter Higgs and his colleagues had great hopes that their boson theories will be proven there. There's adequate funding from European countries to build the most powerful particle accelerator in the world, but a number of mechanical setbacks and accidents make it a long wait. Finally, 10 years ago, July 4th, 2012, Geneva, the Large Hadron Collider, the most powerful particle accelerator in the world, worked to prove Peter Higgs' theory. The Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, with its massive magnets, is in an underground tunnel shaped like a ring and is almost 17 miles in circumference. And it is lined with more than 1,600 superconducting magnets that bend and accelerate. On July 4th, 2012, this LHC, as it's known, worked perfectly. Many fine explosions occurred, and the Higgs boson was finally produced and identified. And so the existence of the Higgs field and the Higgs boson, the mechanism that gives rise to mass, thus completed what is called the standard model of particle physics. Until then, no one knew exactly what holds things together. I've read that it's hard to overestimate the importance of the Higgs boson and the Higgs field in general, as without this aspect of nature, no particles would have mass. That means no stars, no planets, and no us. Huh. Without this boson, all things are essentially empty. Now remember the words of the Heart Sutra that also say, all things are essentially empty. And you remember Dalai Lama's words calling for science and spirituality to be closer than ever. We are all in this together, he said. May each of us, as a member of the human family, respond to the moral obligation to make this collaboration possible. This is my heartfelt plea. I leave you with this story, another story. One summer day not long ago, in a woods not far from here, two men are taking a hike. Maybe it's the Appalachian Trail. They are Peter Higgs, and with him, let's imagine, is Avalokiteshvara of the Heart Sutra. These two are having a genial conversation about whether or not things are essentially empty. Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva, says, Peter, you know things are essentially empty because you scientifically discovered what actually holds them together. I clearly see this emptiness when I meditate, says Avalokiteshvara. And Peter Higgs, the genial particle physicist who never gave up looking for the boson particle that he theorized holds everything together, responds, yes, yes, I agree that all things are essentially empty. And it is one tiny particle, now called the Higgs boson, that holds everything together, including you and me and these trees and these shrubs and this path. And then lo and behold, a third entity appears out of nowhere and joins this hiking party, and it is none other than the Dalai Lama, okay? Who else? And the Dalai Lama says, oh, joyful day, I see that you, Peter, the great scientist, and you, Avalokiteshvara, the great Bodhisattva, are chatting and apparently collaborating. And His Holiness is so taken with this amicable collaboration, he suggests a group hug. And the three of them stop in the middle of the path and embrace and show goodwill towards one another. The end.